Motivations feature interview, health, wealth, success, and inspiration.
Hello, this is Sydney O'Sullivan with Motivations Magazine, and my guest today is Ivan Kay. Welcome, Ivan.
Hi, Sydney. How are you?
I'm great. So let me introduce you to Ivan. He has a business called BSI, and BSI has a lot of different arms. So I'm going to let Ivan tell you about it because it spans such a lot of different industries, doesn't it, Ivan?
You could say that, Sydney. What can I say about BSI? BSI started about 20 years ago when I left, in fact, it was about 26 years ago, when I left PwC, or Coopers and Lybrand at the time, and I promised myself I'd never fill out another timesheet. So I qualified as a chartered accountant and I was originally from South Africa, or Southern Africa, and was brought out by Coopers and Lybrand to become an accountant in Sydney, and worked there for a few years. And when I left, I promised myself I'd never fill out another timesheet. And so what I did was I helped small to medium businesses access government grants, because it was an easy way for me to track and measure their success and earn money as a percentage of what they got.
Was government grants something that you were doing with Coopers and Lybrand? Did you have a background?
I was at a client. It actually started off where I was headhunted from Coopers and Lybrand. I was actually headhunted to a computer software house called Computations. And when I was there as the group accountant, we accessed a whole heap of government grants. We accessed export market development grants, R&D tax concessions, and I think we accessed about $30 million worth of grants to that company because they were doing massive amounts of research and development. And that enabled that business to exit. And as a result of that exit, it enabled me to get a few dollars in my pocket. And I hung out a shingle and I promised myself I'd never fill out another timesheet, and I set up a business helping other businesses access those government grants.
And then you saw an opportunity once you had that organized and you were doing a lot of that.
Yeah. So what happened was in that industry, there was a number of industries that the government supported. They initially supported the textile, clothing and footwear industry in the 90s. The reason was because there was market failure in that. There was a lot of people employed in the textile, clothing and footwear industry, and everything was going overseas. So they tried to protect the industry, encourage innovation in the fashion industry and promote Australian fashion by giving something called an import credit. For every dollar of import duty that was paid, they would be able to get an import credit for everything that they exported. So they were promoting exports by creating an import credit. And out of $150 million worth of import credits that were given, I was working with a company where we accessed 100 of the $150 million worth of the grants. Effectively owned that industry. And what we would do with those companies is help them grow. Because in the fashion industry, what are fashion designers good at?
Making clothes, designing.
What do you think they're not good at?
Everything else.
Exactly. So we would then help that company, A, access grants because it would get them to survive, but then we'd help them with their business and their business planning and help them grow. And we've still got now a whole heap of fashion clients where we help them grow and we coach them in growing their business. We took that model into the innovation space. Why? In 2000, do you remember the .com crash?
Yes, I do.
It wasn't a good time.
Well, it was great leading up to it, and then it was all terrible. It was terrible, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And so what happened is the government in Australia said, listen, there's market failure in the innovation space. No one's investing any money. We're going to support the innovator by giving them grants in helping them get investor ready, helping them access export markets, and help support them in doing research and development in innovation. And they allocated like billions of dollars into that industry. And I said, okay, well, let's put our flag in the innovation space, although we knew nothing about innovation, and let's sort of help those innovative companies maximize the grants that are available. And we put our flag in that space, and we became the leaders in accessing government grants in innovation. But what?
And you've actually been helping a lot of startups and everything too, haven't you?
That's exactly what it was about. So what actually happened is when those companies access grants, they actually have to, they'll get dollar for dollar matching funding. So we had to then help them access capital and access private equity. And the government gave $80 million to 10 companies, $8 million each. And we put in a bid, and we actually became an incubator where they gave us an $8 million grant to invest in startups and technology companies. And every 3 months, we'd take 8 innovative companies, we'd make them investor ready, we'd do their business plan, IAM, we'd charge them $30,000, of which the government would pay $25,000 of the $30,000, and we would then get them investor ready so that they would showcase their technology and innovation to 200 high net worth individuals and funds.
Nice.
Once they became investor ready, or an investor wanted to invest in it, we would then co-invest. And with the $8 million worth of investment that we invested, we got over $250 million worth of co-investment. So it was an awesome result, and we made about 25 investments. 5 or 6 of them did awesomely. The balance didn't, as happens in innovation. There's a lot of failure in innovation because the path to success is based on lots and lots of failures, isn't it? If someone doesn't fail, they'll never ever succeed. So it's lots of yin and yang of things, isn't it?
And do you see a lot of those guys going back out and starting different businesses? Like when, you know, they try it once, they're generally creative people and they'll come up with more ideas? Or do you say
depends. I mean, anybody is innovative. Anybody who's got an idea can actually take action. The guys who are innovative are actually the ones that take action. But that's another story.
Yeah. We could talk about that also. So then you noticed that there was the opportunity to work in human resources too.
Yeah, so what actually happened, as those companies grew, so we invested about 25 companies. As those companies grew, the guys that were making money were the recruiting companies. The guy, we'd have to employ a CFO, a COO, a CEO, that O, the other O, every O in the book. And every time we'd actually employ an O, it would cost us like $20,000. And I said, wow, this is a lurk. We need to get one of those. And there was a business called Apex People, a guy, William Maudlin, a brilliant recruiter, but not such a great guy at running a business. And what we found generally in the textile, clothing and footwear industry, service industry, accounting industry, innovation industry, is the entrepreneur's great at what he does. He starts off a business doing amazingly well because that's what he's good at. And then what happens is a whole heap of stuff that happens around him. And they have to pay rent. They have to manage their cash flow. They have to manage their cash flow. They have to manage their cash flow. Yep. And they have to manage their cash flow.
Manage employees, manage everything.
Employees, yeah, tax and cash flow. Yeah. And we said to William, listen, he has a desk, he has a chair. His business wasn't doing great. We said, here's a desk, here's a chair. We'll inject you into our economic innovation ecosystem and let's help you grow your business. And last year, that business turned over $30 million.
Congratulations.
Not because we did anything besides help him get him to focus on what he does well, which is recruiting. Quite a novel concept, isn't it? Focus on what you do well and you'll do well. Then attached to that was a little training business that was doing soft skills. And we then acquired something in Australia that we call the Registered Training Organization, an RTO. It's like a little university or a TAFE or a technical college, where the business helped companies. We acquired a couple of RTOs. The business was helping businesses and SMEs grow their business through providing courses such as how to answer the phone correctly, how to grow your business, lots and lots of courses. And we acquired that business because it wasn't doing well. Because what are trainers good at?
Training.
Yeah, what aren't they good at?
Everything else.
Exactly. We're getting a system and a methodology happening. So we said to the trainer, well, here's a desk, here's a chair, you can train well, and we'll help you with the back office. And guess what happened to that training business?
Hopefully it did well.
It's done unbelievably well. And that's BSI Learning.